Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter number 14, verses 20 through 24. Once you've found that, go ahead, stand with me. Numbers chapter number 14, verses 20 through 24. I'll read on the even verses, and then if you'll join with me on the odd verses, we'll read responsively from verse 20 down to verse 24. But Numbers chapter 14, verses 20 through 24. I enjoyed that offertory. Good job, ladies. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land, whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again that we can meet tonight and that we can open your word. Thank you so much for the good songs that we've sung. And Lord, I pray that you'd please bless the service. I pray that you bless the special music now and then the preaching to follow. I pray that you'd please help us to listen. Put everything aside that might might take our focus away. But Lord, I pray that we would lock in and listen to what you have for us tonight. Thank you so much for our preacher. I pray that you bless him. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
That's good. I think about John the Baptist there. He must increase and I must decrease. Amen. Outstanding. What was it Tim Booth said? I'll mess it up. Tim Booth said here in a message on a Wednesday night, outstanding. I know if you remember earlier last year, he ended with that statement. At the beginning it was all of me and none of him. That it became more of me and some of him. Then it became less of me and more of him. Then it became none of me and all of him. Amen. That's exactly what it needs to be. And that's a wonderful song tonight. And a good approach when you think about hosting a conference and people coming. It's not about Faith Baptist Church to show itself off. It's about the glory of God. Amen. And I want to talk tonight on this subject. I want you to look at verse number 24. And I will speak along the lines of our responsibility during this week tonight. So for you visiting with us, and you just listen in as I talk to our people a little bit tonight about our responsibility this week. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and it followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. I will not belabor going through the setting of this passage. I think you're familiar with what happened. I'll say a word or two about it. But I want you to notice that my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and I want to speak tonight on the subject of attitude. Attitude. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that what the ladies sang about will be true in each and every one of our individual lives and also about us as a church corporately. May it be your glory while ours grows dim. We pray, Lord, that Faith Baptist Church will be a place where people can come and see the Lord Jesus. We think about those Greeks who came to Philip and said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Lord, that's what everybody needs. That's who everybody needs to see. So help us this week to be a blessing to our guests and those who are coming. And help us, Lord, with our attitude. Thank you for this man in the Bible, Caleb, who had another spirit, an excellent attitude. Help us, God, please, I pray, to possess that same type of spirit this week and beyond. I ask it in Jesus' name and amen. When God promises something, you can mark it down, neighbor. He will make good on it. God doesn't always operate in a time frame understood by you and me, but He always does what He says. Verse number 24, God made a promise to Caleb. He said, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So God said to Caleb, I will bring you into the promised land and your seed as well, your family, your children, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, your seed will possess the land. Many others, most others, were never brought into the promised land. Those living at this time who were over 20 years of age died in the wilderness. The only two who went into the promised land who were living at this time, age 20 or over, were Caleb and Joshua. All the others died without going into the land of promise. 45 years later, you can read about it in the book of Joshua, chapter 13 or 14. But 45 years later, God made good on His promise. 45 years from the time that this was spoken in Numbers 14, and God keeps His promise, and Caleb and his seed were settled into their portion of the land of promise. And God made good on His promise, and He always does. Now, God made it very clear why Caleb was allowed to possess the land while others were not. He said in verse number 24 that he had another spirit with him. Now, this is not a reference to the Holy Spirit. This is not a capital S. This is a reference to Caleb's spirit. You and I might use the word attitude in our vernacular today. Another spirit or a great attitude. This is akin to Daniel's experience in Babylon when the Bible says about Daniel that he had an excellent spirit. Again, not talking about the Holy Spirit, but talking about his spirit or his attitude. Now, the difference in what Caleb received and what the others did not receive really boiled down to attitude. That's what God said. You see, after the evil report of the 10 spies was given to the people, and that's what God called it. By the way, take note of that. We've mentioned it before, that when they brought back this pessimistic, we can't do it, defeatist attitude, it's too big for us. When they brought that attitude back to the camp, God didn't call it just a negative opinion. God called it an evil report. That's what God called it. God's terminology is a lot stronger than ours. An evil report. Now, after they gave their evil report to the people, the Bible says that the people murmured and complained and cried and mourned. Now, listen very carefully. God was so aggravated with His people, He wanted to eliminate the whole crowd. Just wipe off. Moses had to entreat the Lord to keep him from just wiping them off the face of the earth because God was so provoked by the attitude of complaining. We're not Catholic. And we preach against, you know, venial sins and mortal sins. Some sins are not so bad as others. Other sins are real bad, the Catholics preach. But the truth of the matter is, friend, some of the sins that we look at as not so bad, God found it very bad. Made Him very upset. And complaining and murmuring and angering, He talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, made God very, very upset. And God said, because Caleb had another spirit with him, he would possess the land. The others were faithless, the others were doubting, and eventually complaining, but Caleb had another attitude, and God made a promise based on that attitude, not only to Caleb, but also to Caleb's seed. And boy, what a message this is to parents tonight. Are you listening? Because he had a good attitude. Not only did he possess the land, but God let his children enjoy it as well. I hope my children don't miss out on something because I missed out on something. I want to lead my children to a place where God can bless them and use them even more so than he's blessed and used me. But friend, I want to tell you, a lot of that has to do with my attitude. It has very little to do with our money. It has very little to do with what kind of car we drive, or we fit into this world's economic system with the clothes we wear and all of that. It has everything to do with my attitude and yours. And God gave Caleb and his seed entrance into the promised land based on the fact that Caleb had another spirit. Now, when it comes to hosting this meeting, what is ahead of us this week is really all about our attitude. It won't necessarily be an easy week. I think it'll be a fun week, but it won't be an easy week for those of us who are hosting it with much going on. And a good attitude will help us immensely. The hours will get long, and we can complain, and we can murmur and gripe, or we can be grateful for the opportunity. We can be pessimistic about the importance of the meeting and the results, or we can be optimistic about God's Word and its potential in people's lives. And we've seen God do some good things at conferences like this. And so I'm asking for all of us to take a good examination beginning tonight and just have the Caleb spirit this week, that another spirit that God can bless. God blessed Caleb because of his attitude. His attitude. By the way, attitude means a lot in life. I just want to give you a few suggestions tonight. This is not preaching. I'm taking this little Bible example here and just talking to us tonight as a church body about to host the biggest thing we've ever hosted here at Faith. And by the way, our attitude about the meeting won't be dependent on its size. I go places to preach and constantly you get pastors apologizing. Man, I'm sorry that we don't have more people here tonight. I'm sorry more people aren't here tonight. Some are sick and some of them. And you know what? It never bothers me. The size of the crowd never bothers me. I cannot help the people who are not there. But possibly I can be a blessing to the people who are. And so if this place fills up to overflowing tomorrow night, wonderful. I have no idea. I've told you that. I have no idea what to expect. You hear things from people. I hear things, you know, and I said before, I said, when it comes down to actually getting in the car and leaving home and leaving ministry and driving away to Bourbonnais, sometimes people make decisions at the last minute, you know. People that have said they were coming, now I've heard they're not, but then I heard this morning, people who I never dreamed would come are planning to be here from Arizona. Some people are coming. I have no idea what to expect. This place may fill up. Maybe overflowing. We're ready for it if it does. But if it doesn't, it's not going to affect my attitude. Because, friend, you can only help those who are here. We can have a great conference, whether the building is overflowing or whether it's just pleasantly full or whatever. So let me talk to you about a few suggestions for attitude this week. I want us to possess the Caleb spirit, the another spirit, the Caleb attitude that God blessed Caleb so that he could get into the promised land. I was thinking about these things. How about a helpful attitude? A helpful attitude. You know, you can come to church for yourself, or you can come in order to be a blessing to somebody else. And friend, don't come to church for yourself this week. Come to church to be a blessing to somebody else. Somebody might be looking for information. Somebody might need to know where the bathroom is. Somebody might need to know where the nursery is. And I want us to possess a helpful spirit. Can I help you? Do you need something? Can I get you something? Don't wait for somebody to ask for something. If you see somebody you don't recognize, just kind of take for granted that it's probably a guest, a visitor from another place somewhere, and they might be looking for something you possibly could help them find. So beat them to the punch, if you will, with a helpful attitude. Go out of your way to be helpful to people. Go out of your way to be helpful to people. A helpful attitude. And then I thought about this as well. A friendly attitude. A friendly attitude. Hello, we're glad you're here. Hi, thanks for coming. You shouldn't pass a stranger in the hallway this week without greeting them. Shouldn't pass a stranger in the hallway without greeting them. I was so blessed at the missions conference this year. Each one of the missionaries, I don't think corporately they got together and talked together about this as a group. But individually, the missionaries came up one by one at different times during the conference and they said, Pastor, we're having such a good time here because the people are interested in us. They come to our table, they talk to us, they pick up our prayer cards, they spend a few minutes with us at the missionary at our tables back here, and they seem genuinely glad that we are here. And my heart just rejoiced because, friend, that's how it ought to be. And not just at conference time, all year round. A friendly attitude. It would not be bad if our guests left here overwhelmed with friendliness, if their hand was shaken off of their arm by the end of the week. A helpful attitude. A friendly attitude. And then I thought about this. A tough attitude. A tough attitude. And when I use the word tough, when I'm speaking of tough, I'm not talking about tough-hearted and mean-spirited. You know that. I'm talking about a tough attitude. So if something does not, if something happens that's not quite to our liking, we handle it. We deal with it. I'm talking about if the service runs over and you're in the nursery the night that the invitation runs over. I'm talking about if a speaker barks at an usher or a sound man. And I'm positive that all the speakers we're having in this week, none of them will ever be tempted to bark at an usher or a sound man. They're all gentle, meek, and quiet men who don't get excited about anything. If you're working as an usher, God bless you in the sound booth this week, and somebody barks at you, you know what you got to do? You just got to deal with it. Did you ever tell your child, deal with it? And I don't mean your children. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So we just deal with it. I'm talking about dealing with it. If a friend at the church here snaps at you while we're in some kind of process of doing something, deal with it. Handle it. If a visiting mother complains at the nursery about something with her child, you know what? Handle it. Smile, be nice, and just deal with it. We just need to have a tough attitude. Let me tell you, things don't always run smoothly. In fact, I look up this morning for the first time in months, we've got pink lighting in our balcony. I thought, how appropriate for a Baptist boot camp to have pink lighting in the balcony. So I'm sitting on the platform this morning looking up here. We've been here all week, hours and hours and hours this week, trying to make sure that everything is nice and working properly. And Sunday morning we come and we got pink lighting, mood lighting in the balcony. So things don't always go as smoothly as they should. And sometimes you just got to tough it out. You can look around tonight. We've been hit with sickness. We've had sickness in my house this week. I've got a daughter home tonight sick. And we got people out tonight with this fever stuff that's going around. And so, you know, the sickness could be an issue. But, you know, if you don't feel well, but you're not contagious, man, let me say, we need you. We need you. Now, a fever, that's one thing. Leah came to church this morning, and I knew she went to bed last night, and I think she had a low-grade fever even this afternoon. I said, Leah, what are you doing here? Well, she wanted to come to church. I sent her home. You need to go home. You're running a fever, and you're contagious. She said, well, give it to everybody else. That's a real blessing. But if you just don't feel well, you know, just tough it out. Come on anyway. We need that kind of tough attitude. If you're just tired, you know, you're kind of there getting off work and it's Wednesday or Thursday. You're thinking, man, I've been every night so far and it was a difficult day and they won't miss me tonight. Look, it's not that we won't miss you tonight. You may miss something that night. It can help you immensely. We will miss you because we need you. So a tough attitude, just need some toughness this week. Just tough things out when things don't go quite like we might enjoy them going. I thought about this as well, a flexible attitude. A flexible attitude. If you prepared a special and it gets bumped, because we're going to have some men come in this week, some folk come in I know that can sing. Brother Jim Green is coming from up in Michigan, and Brother Jim Green can sing. And I'll probably have Brother Jim Green sing. And there might be somebody else that comes in that is a good singer. So we might bump some of our special music people. If you prepared a special and you get bumped, that's okay. Be flexible. If you're supposed to do something at a certain time in the order of the service and we decide to do something else, just be flexible. If somebody is in a pinch and asks you to switch places, can you do this for me and I'll switch with you? Be as flexible as you can be. You know, you make plans based on how we think things will go. But when you get into the moment, it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes you got to back up and you got to be a little flexible. And if you're inflexible, you know, somebody will probably get your seat this week. That's okay. All right? Be flexible. All right? So I thought about a helpful attitude. I thought about a friendly attitude. I thought about a tough attitude. I thought about a flexible attitude. I thought about this. I thought about a faithful attitude. A faithful attitude. Just decide you are coming as often as you can. Listen, I do not want to depend on out-of-town guests to fill up this building. Now, there will be some. I mean, we hope there'll be a bunch. But we need to put a good number of our people in here as much as possible through the week. And we just need you. We really need you to follow through on your commitments. If you're committed to the nursery or to the ushering or to music or some other food item, man, if you're a driver to the airport, boy, oh boy, we need you to be faithful to that commitment. Please. Okay? Please. Then I thought about this. I thought about an optimistic attitude. An optimistic attitude. This conference will do some good. It's called Baptist Boot Camp. That's what Brother Coral has called his national conference for a number of years. Baptist Boot Camp. And I can testify, once in a while, preachers need a little boot. Amen. It doesn't hurt us to get challenged. It doesn't hurt us to be reminded. It doesn't hurt us to be reproved. It doesn't hurt us to get our toes stepped on. And if we need a good old kick in the seat, then this is a good place to get it this week. I think some people are going to get help. I really do. I really believe that with all of my heart. I'm talking about the preaching of God's Word prospers God's people. God said that it does. And we may not see the results, but there will be some. When I told you, months and months ago, probably 11 months ago now, about Brother Crowell asking us to host the conference, I told you the story about Brother Dean Noonan up here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Faith Baptist Church. Just built a beautiful new building. And he and his wife came down to one of our God Save Americas back in the early 90s. And they sat through the evening services and the morning services the next day. And they decided to stay for the evening services of the second night. He was in a battle up there in Wisconsin. And they were thinking about walking away from it. They were thinking about going a different direction altogether. Some of the people in that area and folks that he had known and grown up with had gone a different direction as far as their preaching and the type services and all that business going more contemporary. And after all those services that they attended, they sat in the car in the parking lot in the old gym, outside the old gym building, before any of these new buildings were here, and talked with each other through the afternoon and decided that this is what they wanted. They wanted to stick with the old-time religion. They wanted to stick with the old-time way. And they made a commitment. I didn't know that story for years. Brother Noonan told me that. He said, you know, it was in your parking lot where my wife and I made the decision to stay on the stuff with Faith Baptist Church. And by the way, you ought to go up there now and see that place up there, beautiful new building. One of the most going places in all of Wisconsin is Faith Baptist Church up here. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If that's all that comes out of a week-long conference, then it's worth the conference. Because it's not just influencing one man. It's the people that Faith Baptist Church has influenced up there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So have an optimistic attitude. Man, God's Word's being preached. Who knows what will happen? Good things can happen. An optimistic attitude. We may not see the results immediately, but remember, good things can happen. And then I thought about this. I thought about a servant attitude. A servant attitude. This is not the normal type sermon I preach. And you folks that are here week in and week out know this. Most of the time it's like this morning. Here's the Bible and here's the reference. Here's the Bible and here's the point. Here's the Bible and here's the point. This is a little different tonight, and I know that. Doing it on purpose. A servant attitude. We need to remember who we are serving as we host this meeting. We want to be a blessing to Brother Coral, but honestly, we're not serving him. We'll serve him while he's here, but we're serving someone much bigger than Dennis Coral. And you're serving someone much bigger than your pastor. I hope you understand that and know that. I hope you understand just who you're serving. This is for the cause of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sir Christopher Wren was a noted and famous English architect. And he was supervising the construction of a magnificent cathedral in London. And a journalist who was covering the construction thought it would be interesting to interview some of the people who were laboring on the project. And so just at random, he chose three different laborers. And he asked them all the same question. What are you doing? He said to the first laborer there on the job, what are you doing? And the man responded, I'm cutting stone for 10 shillings a day. The journalist went to the second man, just at random, another laborer. Said to the second man, he said, what are you doing? And the laborer responded, I'm putting in 10 hours a day on this job. He went to the third laborer. He asked him the same question. He said, sir, he said, what are you doing? And that laborer responded, I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren construct one of London's greatest cathedrals. That's attitude. That's attitude. That's lifting your eyes above the menial task of preparing a hot dog or taking a choir book and singing or shaking somebody's hand, helping them find a seat or setting out a folding chair. That's looking beyond maybe the menial task of changing a diaper in the nursery and realizing that what we're doing this week is for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in our country, but possibly around the world. Because you never know how far reaching something like this may extend. And so we need to get our eyes off of just the menial tasks that go into what we have to do to host this conference and realize, friend, that this meeting is all about the cause of Christ. And when you're doing it for Jesus Christ, you're doing it for the greatest there is. The greatest there is. So I'm talking about a helpful attitude, a friendly attitude, a tough attitude, a flexible attitude, a faithful attitude, an optimistic attitude, and a servant's attitude. You know what? God gave Caleb a place in the promised land because of his attitude. He had another spirit with him. And I read this statement where somebody said, everything can be taken from a man except the choice of an attitude in any given set of circumstances. And I've been saying something like that for years and years. Friend, attitude is a choice. It's a choice. You don't have to have a grumpy attitude. You don't have to have a complaining spirit. You don't have to have a whiny, why are we here to this spirit? Attitude's a choice. I think if we'll choose to have some of the attitudes or all of the ones that I've talked about tonight, I believe God will help us have a tremendous conference, a great conference. I'm looking forward to it. I just can't wait for it to start. It seems like the hours are just slowing down now. Slowing down, just grinding. I just can't wait for it to kick off tomorrow night. I'm excited to see what the Lord does. So let's have a Caleb spirit this week. Another spirit. Spirit that got him entrance into the promised land and his children as well. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with our church. I thank you for the effort that's already gone into this meeting. For those who have labored long and hard already. For those who have given faithfully, Lord, so that we could finance it. Lord, thank you for the privilege to host it and help us. And I pray, dear Lord, that our church will be everything that you want us to be this week, and especially when it comes to our attitude. Give us a helpful and a friendly and a tough and a flexible and an optimistic and servant attitude. Lord, help us to serve our guests. Help us to realize that we're not just serving guests. We're serving the unseen guest, the Lord Jesus. I pray that we'll put our heart into it, and God, that you'll bless it. God, it seems like through the years when your people have sincerely put their hearts into something and wholly given themselves to it, you've chosen to bless it. God, we want something in power. We want something in might. We want your will to be accomplished and your cause to be furthered. Men to be helped and people to be helped. That's our prayer. And I'm so thankful that the ladies sang the song they did tonight. We pray that the glory of God will shine brightly, that our own light will grow dim this week. May Jesus be exalted. May Christ be honored, His Word magnified, and His will lived to the fullest when the conference is over. And I'll thank you for it. For I ask it in Jesus' name.